This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, and guess what we talk about? Fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. I didn't even allow you time to guess. I just blurted it out right there. Our producer, Chris Klaproth, is with us this morning to take your calls, and you're gonna run the show the first hour, and then we're gonna get a guest. Sean Bailey's coming in on the phone, and Sean. If you want to gear up for the show, you want to get ready, is the cook on a television show and a beautiful website called GameOnCooking.com. That's the website. They also have a Facebook page, and they share recipes on that. But we're going to talk about deer preparation, fish preparation. Going to have a goose recipe and probably even a rabbit recipe as well. So, Ms. Robbins here with us today. Say good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. How are you? So she's awake? Barely? Yeah, me too. Barely. So we'll see what happens. And you know, never know when somebody's going to stop in the studio. It just might happen this morning. We'll see. Busy week for me this week. Of course, the second day of the week, Monday, was celebrated as President's Day. Yeah, combination of the birthday of George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. I think Abraham Lincoln was born on the 12th? I can't remember when George Washington was born. But the 20th was the day. So our good friend and advisor for the Maryland Hunting Coalition is Charles Rodney. Charles is out of Fort Washington, Maryland, and Charles has been is known as the rabbit hunter. He speaks for small game hunters and as a stakeholder within the Department of Natural Resources. He's active in decision making processes. He attends our as an advisor and friend. He attends our hunting summits and things like that, and keeps us aware of what's going on in the world of small game, in particular rabbit hunting. Charles has a pack of beagles, and so we had. We had the four beagles, Jacob, a friend of Charles, Mac, and Charles. Four of us hunted on the Eastern Shore for rabbits on Monday. And I tell you what, that is some of the most fun hunting behind the beagles. I want to hold your hand. Behind the beagles that you'll ever have. It's exciting. You know, a rabbit gets jumped either by kicking it out or the dogs kick it out, and then the chase is on. And he's got a couple, and he calls the dogs, you know, and he's very verbal throughout the hunt. Yeah, you know, that type of thing, trying to get the dogs. If he jumps a rabbit, he yells, rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. When he calls the dogs back, he calls them all by name, you know. He threw me off a little bit the other day. I didn't tell you this, Rob, but he was calling the dogs, and he called, Hank! Junior! I thought we had a celebrity hunting with us, but, you know, it just happened to be two of the dogs' names.
It tickled you, I got it.
It did tickle me, it did. But Jacob had never been on a rabbit hunt behind the beagles, and I've hunted with Charles a couple times before. And we jumped 10 rabbits. First one was the only one that got away. It went straight from the whatever kind of cover crop field to... right in the woods, got back in the woods, knew right where it was going, into a big pile of fallen logs and groundhog holes and things like that, and disappeared, and the dogs lost it. Second rabbit, let's see, first rabbit, who got the first rabbit? Oh, yeah, that one disappeared. The second rabbit came out, crossed in front of me, could hear the dogs coming, knew it was coming, crossed in front of me. I missed the first time. I did.
Figured.
Yep. I forgot I was using the pump shotgun rather than my semi-automatic. I'm using the 1300 Winchester that I bought when I was 14 years old. 1300 or 1200? 12, I can't remember. Anyway, forgot it was a pump shotgun. Rabbit got down in his dried pond, and I missed the second shot as it went up the bank on the other side. Fortunately, Mac was on the other side, and he dusted it. So we got our first rabbit that we actually saw. Second rabbit, dogs jumped right on the edge of the woods, came out in the trail. Jacob dusted that rabbit. Third rabbit came out to me at 15 yards. Stopped facing me. I missed it. Ran over to Jacob, trying to come back out of the woods again. Stopped 10 yards. Jacob missed it. That turned the rabbit back around to Charles and Mac, who was now in the woods, and they did a double team. So they each claimed half a rabbit. So that was number three. Number four, I can't remember. Anyway, we wound up with nine. The height of the day was when we went from one spot to another, and we jumped a rabbit. It went into pine woods. The dogs chased it out the end of the pine woods. It ran into brush pile. Charles and the dogs went after it in the brush pile. This is not a minor brush pile. This is a burn pile. This is a giant room sized brush pile. Charles got up in there. The dogs got underneath. The rabbit came out. Jacob shot it. So he had his rabbits. Go ahead. What were you going to say? Number nine came out behind us. Dogs chased it in the woods, came out the end of the woods, ran towards Charles, who was stationed to block the rabbit from getting in the brush pile, and Charles had not put a shell in his chamber of his shotgun. So he's shooting and the gun's not firing. By the time he jacked a shell and the rabbit was in the brush pile. Charles went in the brush pile. Dogs went in the brush pile. Actually, Charles got on top of the brush pile. Dogs went underneath. I heard the dogs starting to bark while they're all underneath the brush pile. You can't see a single dog. Okay? They were climbing on top of it. I mean, you can't see any of them. They're all buried in this brush pile. Rabbit comes out, runs past Jacob. He missed it. Gets to the field. I shoot. I don't know what happened. Max said the rabbit never crossed. We didn't see a dead rabbit laying there. But just about 2 seconds after that rabbit came out of the brush pile, the last rabbit of the day came out of the same brush pile. We had no idea it was even in there. And where I was stationed, I was in a good spot. And it ran to my left, and I nailed that one. So we went back to look for the other one, sent the dogs in, and dogs kind of ignored the whole rabbit trail, and Jacob walked in, and the rabbit was expired. So we got nine, we jumped 10, one got away, we'd got all the rest, all nine. So it's a wonderful day.
My favorite part of the day was the call I got at work 5 hours later
from
my
your
daughter saying, why are there a bunch of rabbits laying in the back floor of the rec room?
That's because I had to get Jacob home and then dress him out later. So, but hey, they're all dressed out now. They're all in the
they're out of my fridge.
Yeah, they're not in your fridge soaking anymore. No, and we'll talk about care of rabbits here in the next hour with Sean. Anyway, that was Monday. It was very very good day. Very good day. Tuesday, I think we'll talk about when we come back from a break. What do you think, Chris? You good with that? All right. Let me tell you about Clyde's Sports Shop. Clyde's is having his 10-day sale. It begins on March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, an easy way to remember it. At that time, you're going to be able to purchase line to refill your reels for half price, starting at 1 cent a yard. Pen reels will be on special, too, including the Warfare on sale for $89.95. That's a 30-weight level wind. Trolling combos from $89.99, and then the most popular trolling combo is a pen reel with Andy Rod, full line for $139.95. And Turling combos are going to be available from $89.95. St. Croix rods are going to be on sale. Ugly sticks on sale. Shakespeare and Pfluger rods and reels are on sale. Clyde Sports Shop is located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit number 9. They've got everything you need for fishing. Bait, tackle, terminal tackle, you name it. Everything for rockfish. And at that point, all rockfish trolling baits and lures are going to be on sale, too. So why not check it out starting on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. And you can always call the fishing hotline, 410-247-3474, 24 hours. If you want to reach the store, 410-242-6108, Clyde's Sports Shop. Gun owners, your Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms is celebrated at the Associated Gun Clubs of Baltimore. It's where I shoot. Since 1944, the AGC on Marriottsville Road has brought shooters together in a safe and friendly environment to enjoy the various shooting sports and to help them become better shooters. Why not see what the AGC has to offer and then sign up? Over 3,000 shooters call the AGC home, and you can too. New members? Mention me and get a $10 discount on your range badge. For more information or to join an AGC club, call 410-296-3947. That's 410-296-3947 or visit associatedgunclubs.org. Redneck blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Do you need a blind for the field edge, deep in the woods, or on the marsh? Choose Redneck Blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, new soft side hunting blind, and the hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for your bow, gun, and crossbow hunting. Stephen House is your Maryland Redneck Blinds dealer. Check the Redneck Blind website, then call Stephen at 301-331-2500. Gun owners, hunters, and shooters, Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown, Maryland is your one-stop gun shop for sales, service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns, hafersguns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading, hafersguns.com. Repairs, parts, or custom gunsmithing, hafersguns.com. Class 3 firearms, hafersguns.com. Check out their extensive 1,600-square-foot showroom, easy access from Interstates 81 and 70. Hafer's Gunsmithing, on the web at hafersguns.com or on Facebook at Hafer's Gunsmithing, 240-347-4906, above precision, beyond accurate. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose a Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
What a season! Duck season! What a season! Duck season! What a season! Duck season! What a season! What a season! Duck season! What a season! I say it's duck season, and I say fire! Let's try that again. Okay, I'll will start it this time. Right. Rabbit season. Duck season. Rabbit season. Rabbit season. Duck season. Fire! Okay. This time you'll start it.
Whatever you say.
Rabbit. Duck fire!
There you go. Daffy and Bugs, always a classic. Morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Alan. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning.
How are you, buddy?
Pretty good.
Mr. Chuck Spoor is in the studio with us, the chief dog here in Maryland with the physically challenged bow hunters of America.
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are. You've got the hat and the shirt.
I'm on official business today.
Yeah, I know you are. Yeah.
And, one reason I wanted to do it when you're on the air is I want to publicly, so that your listeners can hear, thank you from the PCBA for purchasing the sight system for us to have to, we'll pass it between hunts when we have a visually impaired hunter to use on their crossbows.
Tell us about this particular device.
Right. Well, last August, right. When I called in and had Dirk Price from Alabama on the phone.
I remember. He was the totally blind hunter.
Yes, he was. When he took the antelope in Wyoming, the sighting system he used was called a G-Line. And you can look it up on the Internet, G-Line. And he really thought highly of it, and obviously he must have pulled the wool over your eyes, because at the end of the interview, you've stepped up and said you'd purchase one for the PCBA.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hadn't really got back with you because we hadn't really decided what we were going to do about that, because it used to be they have a smartphone bracket, but you had the one for the phone. Well, now that it came out with the universal bracket,
okay.
So we got G-Line sight with a universal bracket that'll be passed between other hunters as they needed it with the PCBA.
Okay. So what does it actually do?
It allows
excuse me.
Well, like in Dirk's case, since he's totally blind, when his guide has him in the blind, he's looking at the smartphone, which is looking through his scope.
The guide is looking at the smartphone?
Yes, the guide's looking at the smartphone, looking at the same thing that if Dirk could see, he'd see through the scope.
I see. Okay.
So then he can whisper or give him
you're too far back. You need to move
left, right, up, down, like
yeah,
that.
Okay.
And then tell him, and when he's right on, he tells him, you know, shoot,
take a shot,
and then
yeah. So basically, it's a distance type of sighting system that's connected to the scope. That
well, it's really, that's really not a distance. Because
no, I mean, what do I want to say? Remote sighting system.
Right,
I guess
right.
is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I can be looking at my smartphone. Is it connected by cable to the
screen? No,
wireless or
it's I'll show it. I got it in the bag.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's permanent. It's rigidly mounted on the scope.
Okay.
So that
the guide or the helper has to be close to the shooter.
Yeah, right behind him.
Okay, like. but he doesn't have to try and sight for him through the scope. It allows him to look at the screen of the smartphone rather than try to
look
at the scope and,
right.
and then put his head up and
right.
say, okay, it's right,
right
on, move your head down.
Yeah, right.
I got it. Okay.
Yeah.
So
and then it's a sight system that Dirk just happened to find last year.
Yeah.
Because before he was using a laser.
Okay.
And
a red dot. Yeah.
Well, actually it was green dot, but.
Green dot. Okay.
But
dot.
He felt that he was missing deer because they were spooked by the light.
Possible.
So, but he found this, and it's like I said, it doesn't. It's just as if he's looking through his scope.
Cool. So. Very cool. All right. And you brought it with you.
Brought it with me.
Okay. Cool. Well, listen, Ellis Outdoors. Occasionally, we'll try to help, you know, a conservation organization or group or something like that. And I was very pleased to be able to purchase this for PCBA. You in particular, PCBA has been, you know, kind of a frequent guest on the
right.
show, at least once a year. And you in particular, Chuck, are at every event, every hearing. You know, if we ask you to be there, you're involved politically. You keep me advised as far as what's going on social media, good, bad, and indifferent. And, you know, you're always there to support the Merrill Hunting Coalition. So, you know, Ellis Outdoors supports your organization, right, supports you as a person, and, you know, we appreciate that.
The PCBA really appreciates your support,
yeah,
and how you've allowed us to help get the word out in Maryland and wherever,
sure,
anybody's listening to you,
sure,
about the PCBA.
Yeah, and folks can call me or they can email me, and I can send an email to you. Right. Anybody who's physically challenged, wants to learn how to hunt, wants to go hunting, wants to, you know, be able to participate in bow hunting and that type of thing.
Well, we maintain a list of adaptive equipment.
Yeah.
That people can use that might help them with, not necessarily hunting.
Okay.
We can probably direct them in the right direction.
Perfect.
So,
okay. Sounds good. Sounds good. And I see that you sent me an article about the landowner.
Yep.
Where you hunt up in Emmitsburg.
Yep.
Got an article in the paper in the Frederick Post the other day.
Right. Yeah.
And how he's maintained a tree farm without a lot of sweat equity.
Right.
You know, yeah. I mean, you can do it.
Yeah.
Anybody has a piece of land can do it.
Yeah.
And was honored for his tree conservation.
Right. So he's the Frederick County tree farmer.
Tree farmer of the year, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Perfect. So anybody can look that up if they like. So good. Well, I appreciate that. Well, you were tracking a very famous case here, infamous case. We want to talk about. This is where we were on January 3rd, and also on Tuesday, February 21st, the day after President's Day, a 20-hour trial that came to a conclusion that a Kent County man was convicted of poaching a 17-point buck. the press release came out 22nd. I guess that was that Thursday? I can't remember. Anyway, Kent County man convicted Tuesday of illegally killing a potential state record white-tailed deer, was ordered to pay a fine, make restitution to the state, and perform community service, which is exactly what happened. Sitting through 20 hours of testimony, back and forth, some true, some not, was excruciating just to be an observer sitting on a hard bench in the courtroom.
He was there all day Saturday. It was Tuesday.
Yeah, and all day on the 3rd as well. So, yeah, I didn't get home till what, 8:30?
8:30, 9 o'clock.
Something like that. Ronald Wayne Rowe, 28 years old, was found guilty on all counts of trespassing and poaching stemming from the shooting of a 17-point buck in September on private property. He was convicted of trespassing on private property, trespassing on agricultural land, and hunting without written permission. Poaching in Maryland, as defined by the Poaching Restitution Act, is killing a deer illegally. Pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
Poaching was never defined in Maryland law before the Maryland Hunting Coalition advanced a bill called the Poaching Restitution Act in the Senate and in the House. And part of that penalty for Mr. Rowe was as a result of the Maryland Hunting Coalition's efforts to help make Maryland have a no-tolerance policy for deer poaching. District Judge John Nunn III sentenced Rowe to pay $5,000 in restitution and perform 80 hours of community service as mandated by the state's anti-poaching law. He also received a $500 fine, $250 suspended, and 3 years of unsupervised probation. His hunting privileges were suspended for 2 years. Trial lasted 2 days over the course of 2 months, and we know that. Here's how the fines went, by the way, just so you know. On the one trespassing charge on private property, the fine could have been $1,500. It was reduced to $100 and suspended, along with a potential jail term of 6 months, also suspended. On the second trespassing fine on agricultural land, same thing. $100 fine suspended, 6 months in jail suspended. On the hunting without permission fine. He could have been fined $500, or was fined $500 with $250 suspended, as stated. He was given 3 years of unsupervised suspension, which means, unsupervised
probation.
Probation. That's the word I'm looking for. Which means if he violates the law again, you know, everything comes back on him. So anyway, but the $5,000 in restitution is mandatory, mandated by the law, based on the size of the antlers. And it's under the Boone and Crockett scoring system. We had Bob Newton III there as the official Boone and Crockett scorer, certified, who scored those antlers. And the landowner, Joe Bogdan, had targeted the massive buck for several years. He had watched this deer for over 3 years and never took a shot at it, waited for it to mature. This deer is probably 6.5 years old, only to have Roe shoot it. He told Judge Nunn it was, quote, the kind of deer that makes a good neighbor a bad neighbor, which is true. At first, he said he congratulated Roe, but as the facts came out, it went sour after that. The deer was baited, killed, and gutted on my property. A score for the Boone and Crockett Club, which measures the deer antler for possible record, said the rack was 212 7/8 total inches. That would have secured the top spot for Maryland crossbow hunters and a top 10 overall state ranking. In other words, one of the 10 largest deer ever killed in Maryland was poached. Now, little-known secret. Not really little known, but Maryland is a sleeper state for giant bucks. We have tremendous genetics here. We have tremendous nutrition here. The largest buck ever killed on the East Coast, the entire East Coast, was killed in Maryland. It was a 268-inch giant killed a couple years ago with a shotgun. Huge deer. But anyway, the case began on September 12th when officers received a call from a Kent County resident about a suspected case of illegal hunting involving a large buck. An officer located two piles of bait on Bogdan's property, adjacent to land owned by Roe and where he had placed a tree stand on his own land. The officer found the blood trail leading from the bait to the spot where the buck had been field dressed. Roe told police he shot the deer with a crossbow on his property, but it died on his neighbor's property. However, friends called by Roe after he killed the deer contradicted that account, testifying that they helped drag the carcass to his property and then to his vehicle. Mr. Bogdan's property was posted with no trespassing signs in numerous locations. As a matter of fact, it was testified by these two assistants that they both saw the no trespassing sign on the way to the deer, which means they had crossed the line. Okay. It was an interesting change of story if you pay attention if you were in this courtroom. Went from, Your Honor, I shot the deer up here on tree stand 2 where I had permission to hunt, and it ran in a circle 150 yards to the position on Mr. Bogdan's property where it died. I can't help where the deer dies after it goes after I shoot it. Unfortunately, social media helped trip Mr. Roe up because his own Facebook page, he said, I made my shot count, the deer died within 25 yards.
Ouch.
So what he posted the day of the kill, as opposed to what he told the judge, did not add up. Okay? And there were some other testimony offered by his accomplices that helped cement the case against him. His own words did him in. So the anti-poaching law took effect in June. It requires judges to order restitution and community service in cases of deer poaching. Monetary penalties based on the measurement of the antlers scored on the Boone and Crockett Club system. A buck with antlers scoring 150 or fewer requires restitution of $2,000 to $5,000 and 80 hours of community service. A buck with antlers scoring more than 150 inches requires restitution of $5,000 to $10,000 and 80 hours of community service. A deer without antlers requires restitution of $300 to $500 and 40 hours of community service. Roe is the third man sentenced under the law. So, unfortunately, I believe Mr. Roe became obsessed with this deer. Spent a lot of money on bait to get this deer to come within range. Unfortunately, the deer came within range, but not on Mr. Roe's property, nor do they have permission to take that deer where he shot it. And that's what the trial proved. And that's why he's facing the penalties that he is. So hopefully with this case and with the other two a week ago in Dorchester County, and the word's going to start to get out that there will be zero tolerance for poaching here in Maryland.
Good.
And you were there. You were there when we testified.
So. Right.
So it worked out well. What are you seeing on you follow social media far more than I do, Chuck. What are you seeing on some of the sites out there about this particular case?
Some guys are, or some people are in favor of what happened. They're saying about time to get he got what he's due.
Yeah, sure.
And things like that. Then there's other guys that are saying that the penalties aren't stiff enough.
Well, here's what I would say to those guys. If you want stiffer poaching penalties, support the organization that can get the law changed.
Right.
And that would be the Maryland Hunting Coalition.
Right.
The only organization withstanding in the General Assembly for hunters. And if you would like to make a contribution, and if you would like to come and help us testify, if you would like to come and, you know, make some suggestions, you're certainly welcome mm-hmm. to do so.
Right.
All these bills are on the General Assembly website. It's easy to figure out what you want to support and what you don't want to support. Two bills were put in this week. One was Senate Bill 1141. Interesting bill. It says that fox chasing should be considered hunting. Okay, because you're pursuing game, you're pursuing a fur bearer. Therefore, people who participate in fox chasing should have to purchase a hunting license.
It's only fair.
The bill was originally titled the Fair Share Act. It got changed by the people that draft the bills, but that's okay. It's a good law. I think it is. We'll see if it goes anywhere. But it was co-sponsored. Bipartisan legislators, you know, R's and D's, same thing in the House. So we'll see where it goes. But I think it's a step in the right direction. That's just me. But anyway, Mr. O, we have something for you. We'll send this out to you. Unfortunately, breaking rocks isn't part of community service. Mr. Rowe's demeanor changed prior to and after his conviction. Mrs. Rowe's testimony was very interesting as well. All right. There we go. Well, I think we'll take our second break, and we'll be right back after this.
Stay connected with stimulating talk and breaking news on Talk Radio 680 WCBM, Baltimore, and WCBM.com.
Big change up to the weather scene here with a cold front arriving this afternoon and a severe weather threat for us. Our highs today, once again, above average in the 60s, around 67 degrees ahead of the front. And then behind the front tonight, blustery northwest winds and a low of 32 degrees Sunday morning with wind chills down in the 20s. Sunshine, below average temperatures in the mid-40s Sunday afternoon. And then a quick recovery back into the 50s and 60s for Monday and Tuesday. I'm Scott Laurie, more at the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Attention gun owners, hunters, and shooters. Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown, Maryland is your one-stop gun shop for sales, service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns, hafersguns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading, hafersguns.com. Repairs, parts, or custom gunsmithing, hafersguns.com. Class 3 firearms, hafersguns.com. Check out their extensive 1,600-square-foot showroom. Easy access from Interstates 81 and 70. Hafer's Gunsmithing, on the web at hafersguns.com or on Facebook at Hafer's Gunsmithing. Smithing, 240-347-4906. Above precision, beyond accurate. And while you're at Hafer's Gunsmithing, see a redneck blind on display. Redneck blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Do you need a blind for the field edge, deep in the woods, or on the marsh? Choose Redneck blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, new soft side hunting blinds, and hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for bow, gun, and crossbow hunting. Stephen House is your Maryland Redneck Blinds dealer. Check the Redneck Blinds website, then call Stephen at 301-331-2500.
Radio
680 WCPM. September, fall is coming. Got a feeling and I can't control it. Rumor has it at the hardware store, 6 inches wider than the year before. Big bulls, big bucks, mountain roads and pickup trucks. Hunting all day just to catch a glimpse of big bulls, big bucks.
All right, big bones, big bucks. Boy, that was a good one, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Chuck, 212 sure. inches.
You're right.
Number one, crossbow kill, poached. One of the top 10 deer in Maryland. Unbelievable.
You know, last year, it seems like there was a lot of good bucks gotten.
There were a tremendous amount of good bucks gotten. Yep. Yep. Yes, indeed. So, but, you know, we're just glad that the judges are starting to use mm-hmm. the Poaching Restitution Act. I mean, it is mandatory in these poaching right. cases. And so as they continue to go to trial, as they continue to be scheduled, you know, we'll see what happens. So, anyway.
All we've got to do is get the judges start to go towards the other end of the penalties now instead of the bottom.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So,
you know, you hit somebody with a $5,000 fine, it's a wake up call, I
right.
think, you know. So, and the publicity about it is what you know, what hopefully gets the word out. And you know, I mean, social media is certainly part of it. And you know, you follow all those sites, and I only, you know, pay attention to one really. And it's, you know, I see that, you know, not enough. I mean, again, what would you do? How would you do it differently? You know, we followed one of the most punitive states in the country, Iowa, with their law. We reached out to the chief natural resources law enforcement officer in Iowa, had a long conversation with him. What people don't understand is the research that goes into getting a bill like this passed and the fight and the political capital you expend in Annapolis. You know, this bill was fought on the floor of the Senate and amended and gutted on the floor of the Senate, okay? And we had no choice, the sponsor had no choice but to accept the amendment, okay? So the amendment basically cut the mandatory part of the penalty out. But it was fought by the Judiciary Committee, okay? Of course, Natural Resources is our Environmental Committee is the one that hears the bill. So you got one committee against the other down there. You've got senators against, you know, the sponsor. And the sponsor, you know, what do I do? Had to take the amendment. We'll try to win it in the House. The House committee met, went to the House, the full House, the floor of the House. Nobody fought it there. We had a letter from the Judiciary Committee in the House, but it was ignored by the sponsor. So it didn't get amended in the House. So when the House bill crossed over into the Senate and the Senate bill crossed over into the House rejected the Senate bill with the amendments. The House accepted, I mean, the Senate accepted the House bill without the amendments. Okay. And then once the bill was, you know, voted on, and we only had four abstentions from the whole deal in 188 lawmakers, we only had four that were opposed to it, voted against it, including some that were pretty interesting. But anyway, in the House. Anyway, once it was passed and, you know, was on its way to the governor's desk, here comes the Attorney General with a five-page letter citing Supreme Court cases and all kinds of obscure cases out there. And we were shaking our head, you know. And so the governor did not sign the bill. It became law without his signature. And now it's the law. Now the judges are imposing the poaching restitution penalties, which is good. So, any comments on this from our listeners? 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. We've got, 10 minutes left or so, or a few minutes left, and we got to take another break. But, you know, I'm surprised we haven't gotten any calls. I really am on this poaching case. And it's been so widespread out there. Any comments on what you brought to us this morning, Chuck? So, I mean, we're getting some hits online, a few little emails from some of them. So, you know, we'll see. One of her emails says, I think the bill should be named Don't Be a Slime Ball Act.
I like it.
So do I. So, anyway, we've got some more stuff on the table. There were two bills heard this week, one in the Senate, one in the House, regarding Kent County, increasing Sunday hunting days in Kent County for both deer and turkey. Maryland Horse Council came out and opposed to the deer expansion of deer season hunting on Sundays. We have three enemies of deer hunting here in Maryland. You know what they are, Chuck? And as far as the legal system is concerned.
Why don't you fill us in, Alan?
I figured. Number one is ignorance of what's going on out there. Number two is apathy. No care. No, we don't care. Number three is Maryland Horse Council, you know, and the other enemy of deer in Maryland is the Maryland Farm Bureau,
right?
Who regards them as you know, a female deer is vermin because they breed and reproduce. But what the Horse Council and the Farm Bureau doesn't understand is that the entire deer population in Maryland is this. Under the public trust doctrine from the 1800s, the wildlife in Maryland belongs to the citizens of Maryland. If it happens to wander onto a farmer's land, that doesn't mean that the deer belongs to the farmer. The farmer has every ample opportunity to harvest that deer if he's concerned about crop damage. He can apply for and receive deer management permits. He can take those deer far, far outside the season, more so than a hunter can. He can allow hunters to hunt his property. He can require that they take any number of deer, you know, any number of does before they take a buck with his lease. So, you know, somewhere along the line, there's got to be a solution. Let's talk to Bill in Essex. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Fine.
What's up?
I wanted to talk, get some input on. I've heard some information come across talk radio concerning Maryland passing a bill of making it illegal to own a military-style semi-automatic, like an AR-15.
Mm-hmm.
Could you elaborate a little bit on that?
Not this week. I'm going to have to look into it. I haven't been following that. I've been more concerned with the hunting legislation, and that's not to mean that the Maryland Hunting Coalition isn't concerned about the constitutional right to keep and bear arms. We have weighed in with the Legislative Sportsman's Caucus on some of the bills, like the secondary transfer and the antiques bill and the college campus bill. But this one, I don't know. I honest to God, don't know, and I'll have to look into it. I don't think it stands a chance, but you know, well, I'm going to have to look into that one.
Yeah, I mean, my concern was people that already legally.
I'm sure they'd have to be grandfathered in, but I mean, they did make certain types of modern sporting rifles difficult to own because they put them under the. Um, can't think of the word. I'm sorry you hit me out of the blue with that. They put them under, you know, the same classification as a handgun. What am I reaching for, Chuck?
Okay.
But anyway, you know, you just can't go in on a .44-73 and buy a semi-automatic rifle in Maryland. Some you can, some you can't. And that was under the O'Malley administration.
Right.
What do they call it? Registered? Not a registered firearm. Doggone it. Well, I'm struggling. Anyway, Bill, I'll work on it, try and find out for you, okay?
Okay, sir.
All right, buddy. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right.
Bye-bye. All right. Frank in St. Michael's, how you doing, sir?
Good morning, Alan.
Oh, good. How are you doing?
Good morning, Miss Robin. I'm fine.
Good morning, Frank.
Always good to hear you, Al. Love the fact that you're always there. this big deer.
Yeah.
Do we have, like, an intersection, a crossroads where I can get an idea of where this deer was killed? Because I hunt in Chestertown.
It's killed in Wharton.
Oh my! You're. I'm going to cry. I think.
Yeah, it's killed in Wharton. Why?
This. I hunt between 213 and Wharton.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's killed in Wharton.
297.
Yeah.
And there are three different owners to the woods that I hunt, and this one fellow. I mean, he is into it up to his eyebrows. He's got cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
And last year, he told the farmer whose farm I hunt on the biggest deer he's ever seen in his life.
Yeah.
Was passing through his property.
Oh, could very well be. Could very well be the same deer. This deer allegedly roamed everywhere up there.
Yeah. So not only did this man take the deer from the owner, he took it from me, as far as I'm concerned, and many other hunters.
He stole this deer from the landscape. Okay.
Yes, he did.
Okay, and you know, if this deer had been known. And perhaps it was on a guide and outfitter's property, something like that. You'd have people coming to Maryland, investing a lot of equity, a lot of money into trying
to time,
money. You know, a big part of the economy is deer hunting. I think it's 6.2 million or something like that, just in deer hunting in Maryland. I can't remember the number, but either I'll figure it out. But that being said. You know, hunting is huge in Maryland, and guided hunting is also huge. And, you know, if this deer is out there and somebody sees it and somebody puts it on, you know, hey, this is the deer we see on our property, that's going to attract people to Maryland. So,
oh, yeah.
So the economic impact of stealing this deer from the landscape is huge. I mean, number one with a crossbow, Chuck, you hunt with a crossbow?
Yes, I do.
You know, I mean, I can't imagine what we'd see on social media if Chuck killed a deer that size. But, you know, we'll see what happens. So just, I'm with you, Frank.
But I wouldn't lose the head to the DNR.
Because you take it legally. That's right. Yeah. So
I'm
Frank,
wondering why they didn't throw perjury charges at this guy, because he obviously lied on stand.
I don't know.
But anyway.
We're happy with that he got the poaching restitution penalty. So, all right, Frank, you're going to be staying.
Have a wonderful day, Al.
Yeah, man. We're cooking next hour. We're cooking next hour, okay? All right, buddy. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back after this.
Gun owners, nearby the Associated Gun Clubs of Baltimore has a full-service facility and gun ranges that offer all you need to enjoy your firearms and to become a better shooter. The AGC on Marriottsville Road has a 50-yard handgun range, 100 and 200-yard multi-purpose ranges, a trap range, and much more. It's where I shoot. No matter what you shoot, from rimfire to muzzleloader to hunting rifles and modern sporting rifles, the AGC offers it all. Over 3,000 shooters call the AGC home, and you can too. New members, mention me and get a $10 discount on your range badge. For more information or to join an AGC club, call 410-296-3947. That's 410-296-3947, or visit AssociatedGunClubs.org. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, Alan Ellis
house here for Bay Linux at Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linux spray-on bedliners. You know Linux spray-on bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linux spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linux premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linux Extra with Kevlar and paint match. You know what? Bay Linux and Catonsville Linux now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linux bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linux of Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linux, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800.
Radio 680 WCBN. Put me on a mountain way back in the backwoods. Put me on a lake with a big one on the line. Put me around a campfire cooking something I just cleaned. You do your thing, I'll do mine.
All right, we're back. You do your thing, I'll do mine, and that's what we'll do. Almost out of time. We'll be joined here by the folks from Game On Cooking here in the next hour. Nice interview on, wow, nice interview on coming up on cooking deer and fish and game and fowl. So can't wait for that one.
I thought you were going to have food here. That's why I came in.
We'll take a picture of it, send it to you, text it to you. Yeah, we met Chef Sean, who's basically a home cook.
Awesome, good.
At the Waterfowl Festival. And Robin decided that she liked venison after trying hers, trying his, but she didn't like mine as much as she liked his. So,
nope.
Why is that?
His tasted really good.
His tasted really good? I just tried to imitate what I saw. I don't think I had it down quite the way he had it, but we'll figure it out.
Yes, we will.
And Game On Cooking, if you want to get on their website and follow along with us, or their Facebook page. Get out, stay safe.